Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, everybody. We were experiencing technical difficulties there. I was expecting the intro song of Go Pack Go to play, but anyway, you are listening to LombardiAb.com, the Packers Sports Panel Show, here on Blog Talk Radio, where tonight we're going to be talking about the four draft picks on the defensive side of the ball that the Packers chose in last weekend's NFL draft. Hello, everybody. I am your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on tonight's show is LombardiAb.com staff writers Dan Dahlke and Kevin Dickens. And gentlemen, thank you once again for being here to lend your opinions and expertise. And we might as well get right down to it because this show, it may be the fastest 30 minutes in sports, who knows. But Kevin Dickens, good evening. Welcome to the show, and are you ready to talk some Packer draft picks and defense?
I definitely am ready, Davey.
Okay. Well, let's start out this time in reverse order of the way they were drafted. Our sixth-round pick, cornerback Dimitri Goodson. What are your thoughts on Goodson? What have you learned perhaps over the last few days about the young cornerback and how he could help the Packers this year or in the future?
Dimitri Goodson, he's a superb athlete. Remember, he's the former Gonzaga basketball starting point guard. I think that comes with a lot of vision, that kind of, the sport of basketball, having to lead the team. That's good leadership that I think the Packers picked up there. But being able to come back and also play, at a pretty high level in college football on a pretty good Baylor team that was good there last year, the last couple of years, I think it brings some more stability to the quarterback position that the Packers have. And, look like what you got going into the year, they need another speed guy. And they've got Sam Shields. Tremont Williams is a pretty speedy guy, but he's kind of getting up there in age. And then you look at, like, Micah Hyde and Hayward. Those are guys that are typically just going to play receivers out of the slot, not really speedy guys that can keep up with you. And, Goodson has got some pretty good speed. I think it's a good pickup for the Packers. And, I think Devon House, I think his time is kind of running out on him. I think he's, this is a year that he's going to need to step up. He's going to need to have better performances than what we've seen out of the past. So, I think we're looking at the Packers, maybe picking a more mature, an age kind of cornerback, but one that's going to be a pretty good player, I think, going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly seems coachable from what the reports are saying. He's 5'11", 197 pounds, ran the 40-yard dash in 4.45 seconds. Did 11 reps at 225 pounds, and as you mentioned, in June, he'll be 25 years old. There's a couple of draft picks that are going to be 25 years old this season. So Thompson, went with, as you were saying, some more mature kids coming out of college because they are two or three years older than their peers. But I like the pick. Joe Witt, the Packers defensive backs coach, he's excited about him. They cut Nixon today, which is one of the guys I said they're going to cut when you start adding other people. And before we move on to the next draft pick, we also have with us Dan Dahlke. And Mr. Dahlke from the state of Washington up there near Portland. First of all, how are you doing tonight? And what are your thoughts on Dimitri Goodson, the sixth-round pick of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
I like to pick, I think, a late-round pick. You kind of look for a guy that is a bit of a risk, and that's okay because it's, you know, the sixth round, so you're willing to take that risk on him. It seems like he has an injury history, and like you guys said, he's a little older, so he's not going to be an early-round pick. But he seems like he has solid coverage skills. He seems fit for man coverage, and like Kevin was saying, they need another guy that can play man on the outside. They have Hyde and Hayward for that nickel spot, so they need somebody to compete with Devon House because it seems like this is a make-or-break-it year for House. So they bring in Goodson to compete. I'd also think, you know, what does Goodson have to offer on special teams? He seems like a pretty physical guy, like a decent tackler, so maybe he, you know, is going to bring some merit as a coverage guy in special teams. Maybe he challenges Jared Bush for a roster spot. I mean, I like Bush, but when he's only really a special teams contributor and he's going to turn 30 soon, so maybe they're bringing Goodson in sort of that role. And also Goodson has some returning experience, so maybe they're thinking that as well.
Mm-hmm. Jared Bush, I've gotten yelled at before because, you know, at the dare mention of cutting Jared Bush, I get blasted by people saying, why are you always trying to get rid of Jared Bush? Well, I'm not trying to get rid of Jared Bush, but if we can replace him with someone better, it's called an upgrade. Now, he's been around 6, 7, 8 years. It's probably time to start thinking about replacing him. And let's not forget, yeah, he played okay in the second half of the Super Bowl when called upon when Woodson got hurt. But by and large, game in and game out, the man cannot cover at all. So that's why I'm not always maybe looking to get rid of him, but, you know, I'm always looking for an upgrade. And if that happens to be Jared Bush's position, well, so be it. Or if it's Dixon's or Nixon's, who they just cut, doesn't matter. You know, if we're upgrading our football team from starting from the bottom, you know, we have to cut guys as we add others. And Jared Bush, in my mind, is someone that could be on the fence this season. Not because of his lack of play, per se, but we might just be getting someone better. And certainly younger and cheaper. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. Do either of you have any final thoughts on Goodson before we get started on our next defensive draft pick that the Packers took on last weekend's draft?
No, I'm good.
No, I'm good, too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start out with you then, Dan Dahlke, this time. Let's talk about Carl Bradford. He seems to be a unique individual, kind of bring possibly the attitude that Johnny Jolly brought last year. He, along with Mike Daniels, kind of brought the attitude that the defense needed. I think this year that mantle's going to go to Mike Daniels, and he needs some partners in crime, if you will, to help lead that. Possibly Mike Neal would be one guy. I'm not sure about a Julius Peppers. I don't know if he's a rah-rah type guy or not. But at this point in the front seven, I think your vocal leader, the one that talks trash, is probably Mike Daniels. But it seems like we may have a partner in that type of attitude and trash talking from Carl Bradford. Tell me your thoughts on Carl Bradford, Dan.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love the pick, especially in the fourth round. It's a bit of a polarizing pick, it seems like. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I'm a huge fan of Bradford. I watched him quite a bit last season. Going into the draft, I thought he was a late second round, maybe third round guy. Some people are talking about him being an inside linebacker. I think he's an outside linebacker. I know he doesn't have the length. He's only 6'1", 250. But if he has explosiveness, I mean, you can get by without the length. I mean, look at Robert Mathis and James Harrison. And this kid is definitely explosive. I mean, he had top marks in the broad jump, in the vertical jump. He's got a decent 40 time. And you watch him on a film, and he's explosive off the edge. He's got a relentless motor, which you have to love. And he just brings some passion to his play. And I think that's something our defense really lacked last season, especially with Matthews out. I mean, we have plenty of talented guys, but we need some more guys with that high motor, that relentless attitude. I see Bradford as a guy that's going to contribute right away on special teams. I see him staying an outside linebacker and being a rotational pass rusher. But that's something we don't really have. You know, somebody that can come in on third downs and bring some juice on the pass rush. You might not be a guy that holds up well on first and second down right away against the run. You might need to develop there. But you have Nick Perry and, you know, Mike Neal and those other guys. So I see Bradford as sort of a specialist at first, coming in, rotating and bringing some juice, some passion. I keep him as a pass rusher. Maybe down the road he moves to inside linebacker. But right now I just don't see that.
I kind of see him as the blend between Nick Barnett and Baja Biamila from a few years ago, a cross between a designated pass rusher and somebody with some nastiness to him. The more I hear about Bradford, the less I am inclined to put him at inside linebacker, which was my initial thoughts. I think from just exactly what you're saying, I think he is a pass rusher. He's somebody that's just going to bring a lot of energy, a lot of passion, a high motor, and he's just going to beat the tar out of the person in front of him every time that he's in the game. And the Packers need that. And I think, you know, he's just going to be in those sub-packages and just be a part of the defensive scheme that Mike McCarthy and Don Capers has promised is going to be more versatile this year, getting more out of everybody, using them in different situations. What that means, I don't know. But for Carl Bradford, I think there's a place for him on the team to have an impact this season. Kevin Dickens, what's going on? Talk to me about Carl Bradford and the pick that the Packers made. The 6 foot one, 251 pounds, ran a 4.76 40, and he did 23 reps at the combine. So give us your thoughts, Kevin, on Carl Bradford and the linebacker situation as a whole for the Green Bay Packers, if you like.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts about that. I think, you know, Mike Neal showed some great promise last year moving to that linebacker position. But what I'd like to see the Packers do is move Mike again kind of to that inside linebacker role beside A.J. Hawk. He's great at shedding blocks. He's powerful. You know, he's a big body in the middle. More than Brad Jones, we saw him a lot last year. You know, basically like he got ran over. You know, whether it was a running back hitting the second level and getting to him, or you know, once linemen get their hands on him, he can't get off a block. I'd like to see them move him kind of to the outside, maybe around Nick Perry's area. But I think Carl Bradford would be great on the outside behind Clay Matthews. I think he'd be a great compliment. You know, those linebackers out of Arizona State lately have been a pretty good core group. You know, Cincinnati got Perflick last year. He ended up being, you know, the defensive rookie of the year. So, you know, I think Carl Bradford brings that mentality to the Packers, something they need on defense. They need another vocal leader. They need somebody, you know, Clay Matthews isn't, you know, really the most vocal guy. So I think you need somebody who's going to bring some more fire, some more passion. I think he'd be a great combination with Clay Matthews. And, you know, I love Clay like the next Packer fan, but he's got some durability issues. We see him get hurt a lot. You know, we don't really have an answer on the defense when he's out. So maybe, you know, this is a kid with a high motor. You know, they say he's got a great first step. You know, he's powerful. He's going to bring some passion. You know, maybe he could be in the next great role that we have for a linebacker on the outside, you know, helping Clay out. We don't really have anything behind him. This kid could be a nice step in for him going forward. I'd like, you know, I think if Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy open their eyes to that a little bit, maybe kind of move Brad Jones away from that inside spot, maybe put him outside, maybe we could end up having a really great set of linebackers, you know, from starting level to somebody coming up and stepping in when somebody gets hurt or when they need a breather.
Well, it certainly seems like everybody's kind of calling for Brad Jones' job, and I've kind of been guilty of that myself. I think after this year, maybe A.J. Hawk's days may be numbered, but I think he's going to be here for another solid season. as we all know, A.J. Hawk's not very spectacular at all, but he's very solid. He's assignment sure. He's accountable. And he's an excellent teammate. If he had been a third-round pick, he'd probably go in the Packer Hall of Fame, but as the number five overall pick in his draft class, higher expectations were there, and he didn't meet them. But Brad Jones was a seventh-round pick, and he talked the Packers into a big contract, and I think he's just average. So we definitely still are in need of upgrading that inside linebacker position. I was hoping maybe it'd be Carl Bradford, but like I said, the more I've studied him and listened to his coach and some other people talk about him, I think he's a designated pass rusher. Just come in with an attitude and just bring it and make the first swing. He'll start the fight, not jump into one. So kind of that's what you want, you know, guys that can play with their hair on fire. And just kind of excited to see what kind of impact that Carl Bradford can have this season for the Green Bay Packers. You are listening to LombardiAv.com, the Packers Sports Panel Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are talking about last weekend's NFL draft, and the Green Bay Packers in particular, and we're talking about the four defensive draft picks that they drafted over the weekend. We will be talking about the offensive players on another show. But continuing on with the draft picks, in the third round, the Packers also drafted Kyree Thornton, defensive tackle, or, you know, he could play multiple positions. Packers like those versatile defensive players. So let's start with you on this one, Kevin Dickens. Talk to me about Kyree Thornton. Is he going to be a project to where I see more of him next season, as he learns the ropes this year, or is he going to contribute this year? What are your thoughts? What have you learned about Kyree Thornton, Kevin?
Well, you know, looking at Kyree Thornton, you know, a bit when I when the Packers drafted him, I thought he may be a bit undersized. But the kind of role that I think Mike McCarthy and Don Capers want our defensive linemen to take on now is that, you know, maybe they want a guy who's quicker, who's not like a BJ, and what I'm thinking the Packers are hoping, what I would hope, is that he is able, you know, to get on the field and contribute right away. You know, this is a big year for the Packers and BJ Raji and his future. So if, you know, if Kyree Thornton is able to come on and perform, then, you know, I think maybe he gives the Packers a little more leeway and leverage, because I felt like, you know, kind of with BJ Raji lately, they've kind of had their hands tied when it comes to negotiations. I think maybe being able to pick him up this year in the draft, and if he's able to come in and contribute right away, then maybe the Packers are able to, you know, use more flexibility on the line. They'll get Gerald Worthy back. And, you know, I think that's something they look forward to. Mike Daniels looks great. And, you know, maybe Deton Jones will be more healthy this year, then they wouldn't have to worry, you know, so much about having to play, you know, linemen as much as they had to last year. But I think it's a great pick. It's a sleeper pick. This kid can play different positions, multiple positions, I think. That's a great asset. I don't think the Packers have a lot of linemen right now that can do that in their versatility.
Well, they don't have a lot of big linemen. They kind of, at the beginning of last year, they had those 330-pounders and Jolly, Raji, and Ryan Pickett. And then, of course, C.J. Wilson weighed up. He played bigger than 315 pounds, but all of those guys are gone now except B.J. Raji. But we've replaced those with players that are quick, or 300 pounds or less, big, strong, and quick. Are we going to try to reacquire some bigger bodies down the road? Probably. You got Josh Boyd. You've got LaTroy Guyon, the free agent defensive lineman that Ted Thompson signed for a minimum wage contract, a veteran of several years in the pros. weighs about 310 plus, if memory serves me correctly. But can Kyrie Thornton contribute this year? Certainly they all can, and you never know what the injury situation is. Maybe week 8 or 9, guys forbid, somebody goes down. Maybe at that time you bring in a rookie that's been hidden on the roster up to that point. You never know. But he's quick as a cat. There's another guy with a quick first step, Dan Dahlke, just like Carl Bradford. The write-up on Thornton seems to be that he's explosive, he's multiple in the positions he can play, and he's another high-motor guy. So why don't you finish up and give us your thoughts, Dan, on Kyrie Thornton and how he could help the Green Bay Packers this year if you think he's going to give, if he's going to have an impact. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the Packers' moves this offseason on defense, specifically at the front seven, they pick up Julius Peppers in free agency. They draft Kyrie Thornton and Carl Bradford, two guys that are known for having high motors, guys that are known for getting penetration, being disruptive. I think what they're really trying to do here is find that next pass rusher on defense. So they have Clay Matthews. He's been the one consistent presence. Mike Daniels certainly took a step forward in this area, but they need more. I mean, when Matthews is out, there isn't really that consistent one or two guys that can get quarterback pressure. So I think they're banking their defense on pressure, and I keep seeing this theme, you know, with Peppers, Thornton, and Bradford. They're just trying to add guys that will penetrate and that will be disruptive and maybe open up some things for guys on the outside like Matthews or Nick Perry. So I think we're going to see a lot of creative schemes. I think we're going to see even more sub-packages. Certainly it feels like they're moving away from the traditional 3-4 base. They're going more athletic with the defensive line. Maybe they're just tired of carrying a lot of big guys like Pickett and Jolly and then having them get hurt and only being two down players. So I see Thornton as, you know, a nickel guy, a down lineman who can, like Worthy and like Mike Daniels, can generate some pressure, but I think he's a little bit better at holding the point of attack against the run than Daniels and Worthy, so maybe he adds a little bit of weight and is that anchor along DJ Raji in the base. We'll see. I mean, I think Thornton is the biggest question mark out of the rookies. He could have a big impact. I mean, I don't know a lot about him, so we'll see how it goes in camp, I guess.
Well, the Packers have him listed at 6'3", 304 pounds. He did 28 reps at 225 pounds, and he ran at his pro day just a shade under 5, coming in at 4.99 in the 40-yard dash. 32.5-inch arms, 29 inches on the vertical. Played in 11 games, was injured for one last season and had 28 starts overall last year or in his college career. And he was a team captain last season, so it's well thought of, was voted on by his teammates to be a permanent team captain. So apparently that tells you he's got some leadership qualities as well as some physical attributes. He kind of reminds me of Timmy Jernigan, a big guy that can run. He's got an explosive punch, and he's not a fat guy. He's just kind of solid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we have a diamond in the rough there, but I agree that he's more the unknown than any of the others. So certainly have to wait and see what kind of impact he has on the team, but the defensive line is overall, the defense overall, guys, and we've talked about this before, we had six guys last year that really didn't contribute to the Green Bay Packer defense last season, and they were all first and second round picks. If just every one of them would come back healthy, Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones, Jarrell Worthy, Casey Haywood, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, all first and second round picks, six of them right there, that did not contribute near what they're capable of because of being injured last season. So if we just got those six guys back, you add a Julius Peppers, you add a Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to go along with Sam Shields and Tyrone Williams and Morgan Burnett, I think that's a heck of a defense. Why does our defense suck most of the time? It can't be talent. It has to be something else. It's got to be health, right? Because we can't seem to get off the field on third down. And I'm just hoping for health this year, and maybe it's scheme, I don't know. But what I do know is that we got to get off the field on third down, whatever that takes. And last year is just an aberration of trying to do that. Either of you got any final thoughts on what I just said? You want to wrap up Kyrie Thornton before we go on to our final draft pick of the night?
I think we're good to go.
I think we're
good. Okay. Well, we're gonna slide right on into our number one draft choice, number 21 overall in the first round, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the safety from Alabama. Kind of the same size and weight as Morgan Burnett, 6'1", 208 pounds. He ran a 4.58 40, identical to Calvin Pryor at the combine. And he did 11 reps at 225. Compare that to Pryor, he did 18. Compare that to Jared Aprideras, he did 4. So he's got some strength. He could get stronger. But the key, it seems like, with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is he knows what the heck he's doing back there, and he's got some range. Can play both free and strong safety, as can Morgan Burnett. I see him kind of interchangeable in the broad scheme of things. Guys, Kevin, what do you think?
You know, I agree with that, Dave, about him interchangeable. What I think it allows the Packers to do, Morgan Burnett isn't the greatest, coverage for safeties, but he plays well in the box. And I think what that allows is it gives the Packers a little more versatility. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is a guy who can stretch sideline to sideline. He's a sideline. He's a ball hawk. Him being back there allows Morgan Burnett to come up and play, a tight end that's better suited for him in coverage instead of having to be out there in limbo with a fourth receiver or something like that, something that the Packers didn't have that luxury of doing last year. You couldn't really depend on an M.D. Jennings. Chris Banjo was a great serviceable, but, that's not someone you would depend on down in and down out. So, I think it gives Packers some more strength in the secondary, and I think, what they're building is a great product overall. And you look at Tremont Williams, a proven veteran out there. I got on Tremont a little bit last year, but he played really well down the stretch. He stepped his game up to another level. I think you get Sam Shields back. I think you got all of his focus. I think he played exceptionally well down the stretch last year. And I think you get Hayward back, and you get a Micah Hyde in the second year. He played, I think, exceptionally well for a rookie last year. I think that gives, secondary a lot of stout. And with Morgan Burnett coming back, having, another year to adjust to, being that vocal leader and then that guy that's got to bring the tenacity to the secondary. I think that gives him a little more, and they help Ha-Ha grow.
Well, Kevin, think about this, and we got only about 30 seconds, so I need to kind of wind it down here. But here's a thought. I don't see this happening, but it could. What about starting at safety is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Micah Hyde? Think about that for a while, because McCarthy somehow, some way, wants to get Micah Hyde on that field, and if Morgan Burnett's playing average like he did last year, hey, contract be damned, you got to put the best players out there on the field. You have been listening to the LombardiAd.com Packers Sports Panel Show here on Blog Talk Radio. For Dan Dahlke, Kevin Dickens, and our producer Raymond T. Rivard, I am your host, Davey Miller. Have a great rest of your night, everybody. Thank you for listening. Okay, guys, thank you. Sorry I wasn't able to get to you there, Dan, but we ran out of time.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
That was a good show. I'd like to do another one pretty soon about the offense doing the same thing. I wanted to get that Adrian Hubbard in, but I wasn't able. We ran over as well. So anyway, they're going to cut us off in a few seconds. Look for my emails. And think about us doing another show. Then I'm going to be doing a controversial show. I'm going to be look out for that email.
That'll do.
Okay. Bye.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.